Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Coast.
All right, bro, back on Coast to Coast, and I was thinking about In-Game Live when the Prime Minister was talking about it. I'll be doing Saturday's In-Game Live college football, noon to 4 East, with the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, of course, Cam, sometimes for sure, and then Sunday's NFL kickoff, 1 o'clock to 4 games Eastern, with Morenci and a cast of thousands. And I mean to tell you, In-Game Live betting, are you kidding me, in college and pro football? I mean, you're going to make so much money, make your head spin. Hide the money from your wife. She will spend it at the Fendi store as sure as I'm sitting here. Get ready. I start doing that, I believe, September 3rd. I didn't tell them there were a bunch of games on the 27th. They didn't catch on to that up at the Grid headquarters. They're trying to get me in there early in August, the dog day. Don't tell anybody. Well, status mafia.
We do have, of course, week zero. You are right. 9 days away. The 27th, the season actually kicks off in Dublin, Scotty, that day with Nebraska and Northwestern. The first kick.
Two losers.
College football's two losers. You got that right. But we're taking Northwestern over 3.5 wins this year, so let's hope they can get one over in Dublin against the Cornhuskers. Start that Scott Frost season off on the right foot. Let's go, baby. So earlier, we gave you Deshaun Watson from earlier today after the news came down about the 11 games. Then all the ownership, Scotty, came out right after him. Jimmy Haslam, the wife, Dee, the general manager, Andrew Berry, everybody came up to support and let everybody know they do not regret trading for Deshaun Watson, Scotty. They stand by him. They support him. And here's Jimmy Haslam letting you know that everyone, even Deshaun Watson, deserves a second chance in life. Here's Haslam.
Here's what I think is that I think in this country and hopefully in the world, people deserve second chances, okay? I really think that. And I struggle a little bit. Is he never supposed to play again? Is he never supposed to be part of society? Does he get no chance to rehabilitate himself? And that's what we're going to do, okay? And you can say, well, that's because he's a star quarterback. Well, of course. But if he was Joe Smith, he wouldn't be on the headlines every day. So we think people deserve a second chance. We gave Kareem Hunt a second chance, okay? And that's worked out pretty well, okay? We're hoping this will work out, and we have strong belief it will. That doesn't mean we don't have empathy for people affected, and we will continue to do so. But we strongly believe people deserve a second chance. We believe Deshaun Watson deserves a second chance.
Well, you know, fair enough. I don't have a problem with any of that. And especially coming from the guy that ran all those corrupt truck stops making millions of dollars and the way he hid money. Your boy, he knows all about second chances himself there. You know, Fast Jimmy with the gas money, moving that around with the feds all over him. So let's get real. You're talking about a criminal right there. I mean, this guy's already had his own nightmare problems. He's had five chances. So, Christ, he's given out twos and threes and four chances like your mommy makes muffins in the morning on Christmas Sunday. Come on, give me a break. Everybody deserves a second chance. I've been hearing that. Everybody deserves to be rehabilitated. Some people don't. Remember the other day I told you the story about the doctor that sexually assaulted all the patients? He got his second chance in the shower at Rikers, and he ended up in a bag. There's your second chance. I'm not nice, okay? So whatever. You sexually assault women, you're an idiot, and you deserve everything that's coming to you. I don't care. Shrinks, Jesus, everybody's got a – there's always an out. All it takes is money.
That's it. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday, Sirius XM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us here. Let's keep going, Scotty, with this. So here's how the timeline will work with Watson. His suspension begins on 4 p.m. August the 30th. He can still practice and play for the Browns until then, although Stefanski just said he will not play in the other two preseason games. So you saw him last Friday. He is not going to play of the other ones. He'll be eligible to return to the Browns facility on October the 10th. He can resume practicing on November the 14th. And then the first time he is allowed to play in a game, of course, is December the 4th at Houston. Wow, it's funny how that works out, Scotty. His first game back is going to be in Houston, where he played, of course, his entire career. So there's the Browns' entire schedule. Everything on the left, Scotty, wipe it out. He's not playing in any of them. Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Falcons, Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, top right, Dolphins, Bills, Bucks. None of those games he's playing.
What are the games he's playing in? Listen, it's ironic it's Houston because that's where he committed all the crimes.
Right.
What are the games he's going to be in?
He will be at Houston, at Cincinnati, home for the Ravens, home for the Saints, at Washington, and the final game of the season in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, the last six games of the year.
Well, I mean, listen, I got to tell you, that's great for him that he gets to play in six games with everything he's done. And I don't care what anybody says. That's a great deal for him that he gets to play this year. And he still gets $40 million. So he's laughing. And the worst part of it is he has to go to therapy and then pay $5 million, which is, you know, a kick in the bucket to him. But I got to tell you, I do not buy the Browns and Jacoby Brissett at all. He sucks.
Me either. 8.5 is the win total.
No
way. I'm on the under, Scotty. I don't think they'll be, unless they get Jimmy G for the first 11, I don't think that Brissett will hold the water. They're going under 8.5.
What's great is listening to them tell you how great they think Jacoby is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Couple things, Carver High. When they had the presser with Jimmy Haslam, I don't know if you noticed behind him, usually there's like a medical facility or some sponsor, but did you notice it said at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV right behind him when he was doing that over his wife's shoulder? Brilliant marketing by Rebecca Harrelson to get our social media agenda pushed at that exact moment. One other thought on Deshaun Watson. He reminds me of every rapist that says he didn't do it. Well, they got DNA that says that he did. The DNA is that he paid off 23 women. You pay off 23 women and you didn't do anything to them, but you gave them all $500,000 or $1 million each. Yeah, you didn't do anything to them. This guy is classic, man. He reminds me of every murderer that just constantly, have you ever watched these shows on TV where they go into the prison and ask the guy, well, did you kill him? No, I never had anything to do with any of it. I didn't do any of it. That's why you're in Leavenworth. They got DNA all over the place of you, but you never did it. This guy did it. That's all there is to it. And I'll say this, they're arguing now, how about all these geniuses? And I'm not trying to be smart here. Believe me, I give a rat's ass about this guy. Okay? Everybody now is analyzing the amount of games from 6 to 11. It should have been 12. They shouldn't have let him start the game in Houston. There's going to be riots. There's going to be violence. There's going to be people throwing things on the field. The fans are going to protest. So what? So it goes from 6 was too light. Now 11's too light, the $5 million's too light, therapy's too light, and the guy says he didn't do anything. And how about it's true? He said, you know, a few days ago, I'm so sorry for all the women I affected, and today he's like, I didn't do anything to anybody. I didn't do anything to anybody. This guy is classic. I mean, they might as well put chains on him. He did it. Like, he, you know, lead him right into the police station. This guy did it. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? I don't need you or anybody else to tell me that he didn't do it. Everybody knows he did it. Everybody knows he whipped out his package and got his swerve on every time he went down to get a rub. The R&T classic, this guy. And let me tell you something. I've been to a few of them myself, and none of it was good. Although I got to tell you, before a hockey game, it can be a quite exhilarating experience. I just want to say. Carver High. Because I'm just saying, I've never been to one before a hockey game. Because I haven't been to many of them.
Never.
I gotta tell you, look, knock your socks off. You don't even need to know her name. She'll tell you everything you need to know about life after 50.
There will. I think it's very hard. There will never be whatever the number was going to be. There's no way that you will ever make everybody universally happy.
No one.
Impossible.
It's you can't impossible make anybody happy. Never
in
enough.
In today's day and age, it really is. So no matter what the result was going to be, people would still be upset and find a way to get mad about the situation. He's going to get people more upset because I think the whole thing is just the way he's handled it for the last year and a half is what really has rubbed people the wrong way, Scotty. That's really what it is. It's the way that he's gone about the entire situation, and including today. Standing there saying he apologizes to everybody, specifically gets asked, are you apologizing to the women? No, I'm apologizing to all women. Like, he still is going on and on with this charade. And
listen,
that's why people hate this guy's guts now, and they always will. That's it.
If he would have, listen, and I'm just saying, like, everybody, all these people, I heard Keyshawn Johnson, they dropped the ball, the league office, shut up. Here's the deal.
You know,
here's the deal. If you're busted cold turkey, if you're busted and there's no outs, you have to realize that at that moment and say, I'm sick. There's something wrong with me. I'm demented. I need help. I deserve it. I can't believe what I've done. I don't know what to do other than go seek the treatment that I obviously need. I shouldn't be allowed around anyone. I got issues I need to deal with every day. Hopefully one day I'll be a better man. And I mean, if you say something like that, even though you're lying through your teeth, man, it is gravy street. But he's like, I didn't do anything to anybody. I mean, the more you keep telling everybody you didn't do anything, the more heat you're going to get, baby. He didn't rob the bank, but all the money's under his bed, right?
Look, I think that after today, now that it's done with, we know what the situation is, the appeals are over. We have
who
the closure.
Anymore?
It's 11 games. I think that after today, now we'll say goodbye to him. He'll be in the freezer until December 4th, whatever
that's
the day
right.
is, when he shows up in Houston.
The meat locker.
Obviously, the week leading up to that will be nonstop with this stuff. But I think we do get a break from it now for the foreseeable future. Now, we won't get a break about the Browns. We know that because everybody loves the Browns. And the talk, and now it's going to be Jimmy G, it's going to be Brissett, it's going to be all this other stuff. But I think from the Watson stuff, that's in the cupboard now for a little while. That's finished.
It's never about the women that were raped or assaulted
no.
or whatever you want to call
no,
it.
No.
There's all kinds of fancy ways to describe what this guy did to women. But it's always about him, not about them. Because they left the story when they took their money and ran. All of them. And
well,
you know how I feel about them. I've said this over and over. I just don't respect any of them. The one chick that refuses to buckle, that's the one I admire. I admire the woman that refuses to let this guy off over money. She got sexually assaulted and wants this guy to rot in hell and in prison, and she stood for something. She's the only one with the guts. The rest of you are out shopping on Rodeo Drive with all that money you got, and listen to this, and whoever they're with, they're living off that money and lapping it up and drinking Veuve Clicquot. You're not fooling me. They all took the money. And so, listen, I don't care what anybody says. The lawyers, the money, the women, they took it. They took the bag. I don't respect any of them. Screw them. I'll tell you what. You can talk about it all you want leading up to that game in Houston. No one cares by then. I already don't care about the women that took the money. So all I care about is when it gets to that point, how bad did Jacoby Brissett suck, or were they smart enough to go get Jimmy G and win all the games in front of that appearance by Watson? Because Jimmy G's a winner, and Jacoby Brissett is average at best.
That will we are the focus will now shift for the Cleveland Browns. All right, Scotty, we have we're gonna do more NFL later on. We've done a lot with Watson. We have a lot of baseball to do too. Here's something that'll make you smile. Maybe how about the Yankees last night beating the Rays 8-7 in 10 innings? They were down. They come back and tie it with the Rizzo homer. Chapman blows it top of the 10th. I mean, walk, three-run double down the line. And then down three in the bottom of the 10th, the Rainmaker, Josh Donaldson, Scotty, sending the fans home happy on the Yes Network.
Could end right here.
And he did.
High fly ball, deep right, going back to Rosarena. See ya! A walk-off grand slam for Josh Donaldson. And the Yankees pull victory from the jaws of defeat. What a big win for the New York Yankees.
Well, I guess Josh isn't a racist anymore after all.
Josh was very excited afterwards. Here quickly, Scotty, we will hear from Aaron Boone. Man, did we need that one.
Would you classify that as the spark you guys needed?
He looks happy.
It was, you know, obviously with the stretch we're going in, it was a great victory, you know, no question, against a really good team that's tough to score against, especially when you're behind like we were. So, look, we know we're a really good team.
Get that guy a Miller Lite.
You know, we're struggling, obviously, right now and going through it. But at the core, you know, it's a confident group, and we know we just got to keep, you know, kind of head down, focus, grind through this, and that was a special one
that
hopefully we can look back on fondly.
Grind through this. Yeah.
Don't even get me started on what they've done since the All-Star break. Don't even get me started how bad awful. They've been, or the 11 of 14. Don't even get me started. All I know is that they got lucky last night with a guy that I can't believe was the hero, because he hasn't had much luck.
Yeah.
But he has hit the ball a lot better over the last 3 weeks than anybody else, except for Judge.
He certainly has. Big win for them. They needed it last night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, you've got Elvis, which is Denny Bernstein. Then you've got the King, which is Elvis. Then you got the King of Wisconsin, and that's Bill Michaels, a regular contributor here on Sports Grid and Coast to Coast. We love Billy in the great state of Wisconsin. He's syndicated all over the state on every single radio station. He owns Wisconsin, has the best ratings. Everyone else is jealous of him. He gets to go to rock concerts at Sturgis on his Harley and introduce rock bands in crowded, packed, drunken rooms filled with heavy metal heads. Very exciting life. He also goes to cigar bars and parties. He does not wear underwear. I do not wear pants or shoes. Tell me about the cigar bar story, and tell me about the Sturgis Jackal party you went to.
So last night we're doing a cigar dinner up in La Crosse, Wisconsin at a golf course. One of the gentlemen sitting in the front row, we're sitting here talking about not wearing pants, wearing shorts all the time. Guy sitting in the front row, he's like squatting over like the edge of his chair. And as I'm talking to the group and doing the Q&A, I look down. I thought he sat in bubble gum, man. It wasn't bubble gum. He had a big puff
of bubble gum. Oh, no. Shark.
Yeah. And it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Hubba bubba, baby. Right? I'm like, oh, man, dude. You need to stop. So, but no, Sturgis was great. The band Jackal had their 30th anniversary party, and Jesse James Dupree let me take the stage and talk about our veterans charity and give them some pub and introduce them. And it was rocking. 12,000-15,000 people there for their 30th anniversary show at the Full Throttle Saloon. It was cool.
What did you think of that scene? I told you, 34C has been there on her Harley to Sturgis. And I think she slept with like the entire Hell's Angels or the Outlaws, one of the two.
It's a great scene. We found a couple of cool bars downtown. I've been there about four or five times, but this year was cool because it was the year after everybody was, you know, worried about COVID. Not that bikers worried about it to begin with, but the year after they has estimated 330,000 motorcycles, which would equate to about 500,000 people that were there and in the surrounding areas. It was great. It was hot as hell. I'm telling you what, if you've ever gotten really hot and then turned a hot blow dryer on your face, that's what the air was like sitting there at the Pappy Hoyle campground as we were doing our show. We did our show live out there for three straight days, and it was great because they gave us shade. The problem was the overhang was metal, and it was 103 degrees on the Wednesday that I was doing the show,
with a cat from Little Rock, Arkansas, a rock guy who was bald, who was just sweating profusely. It was dripping all over the microphone. He was just sweating. But it felt like I had everything in my body in a toaster. And so I'd get up, because I was sitting on a towel. I would get up, and I had to, like, put the towel, like, up my shorts pants leg and pull it out the other side and do the little whoop, 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 just to towel off, man. It was crazy hot. But it was great. It was a great time, man. Wouldn't trade it for the world.
Do you watch Mayans, and have you ever watched Sons of Anarchy, now that I know you're a biker?
Yeah, I've seen the Sons of Anarchy, absolutely. Oddly enough, you mentioned that. They've got a new season of Full Throttle coming out. I think that's on Discovery Channel. That's going to be there coming up here in the fall. They're editing. So we might even not be a part of that. But, yeah, I've seen the Sons of Anarchy numerous times. Love that show. Katie Sagal was fantastic in that show.
He was. Tell me about the Packers' problems, because, you know, it's amazing to me that everyone has them just going right back to some kind of title game. When you lose Davante Adams, I'm sorry, there's a bloodletting. I'm not buying what they're selling. And then to see Rodgers giving the business to his receivers that they're basically not up to snuff, and everybody needs to have a meeting and get on the same page, and you got Cobb saying either get with it or get out. What is the deal with the Green Bay Packers? I think they got a little bit of a mini problem started here.
A lot of people think that way. I don't. I think Aaron Rodgers is very calculated. He's trying to refocus this group through a long training camp. And obviously New Orleans was in town. They were having group practices this week, and then they play them tomorrow night. Here's my thought. The only area that the Packers are really going to suffer, in my opinion, is in a two-minute drill. If they're down and they need to score, normally Davante Adams does one of two things. Either he becomes Aaron Rodgers' target, which was what we've seen, or he's the guy that you double and triple team like the 49ers did in that playoff game, where you leave a guy like Alan Lazard wide open over the middle. So at some point this season, somebody has to emerge to be able to take a double team or even a triple team, so that way other guys get open. The young guys are young guys. The difference is when he got here, he already had Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Donald Driver was retiring. You had a lot of good guys. You had receivers. You had good receivers in this building for the last decade. Now, all of a sudden, young guys are coming in, and it's not like they have 2 and 3 years to learn. They need to learn now. They need to figure this out now. Is Cobb used, there's a sense of urgency, because we all know that light that was at the end of the tunnel that was retirement for Aaron Rodgers, that's brighter than ever. He already said, I'm not playing until I'm 45. So what has he got left? 4 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years? We don't know. So the urgency's there, and these guys got to get up to snuff right now. And that's the reason I think they're coming down a little bit hard, because I think Rodgers feels it. I think Cobb knows it, because this is probably Cobb's last year. Lazard knows he's trying to be a number one, but he doesn't have all the talent in the world. He just has to be a really good route runner. Now you got to find somebody else besides Sammy Watkins as a veteran to fill that in. So they're trying to get Christian Watson, who just came back from injury, and Romeo Dubs, who has looked fantastic in camp, but he's just not running crisp routes. And Rodgers is all about trust, knowing where you're going to be at the right place at the right time, throwing it into a window, and having to make sure that his guy's there to catch it. So that's why they're trying to get these guys on the same page.
Do you think Watson and Dubs can handle a pressure playoff type game with great starting corners all over them in a win or go home game? Do you think those two rookies can handle that kind of pressure?
I said from the beginning, I think Dubs is going to be the better wide receiver. I think Watson has more upside, but he really hasn't grown into his body to understand his physicality yet. And with the knee injury, it's setting back. I think Dubs is going to be the guy that's going to shine, but he needs to learn. He can't cut off route. He can't have any shortcomings. Because when you're in college, you know this, when you're in college, maybe twice a season, you're going to go up against somebody that's really good, that has maybe your number. Other than that, you're beating everybody. In pros, every week somebody's got your number, and you got to figure out ways to do it and do it right, and that's what Rodgers wants done. I think you're going to see a lot of motion. You're going to see a creative offense. Think about it this way. When was the last time that you weren't sure who your left tackle was going to be? You're just getting your right tackle back from injury. The offensive line's been a shakeup. You're looking for your third running back. Your tight end just came back from injury. And, oh, by the way, your number one wide receiver in the National Football League is gone, and you've got two new guys you're trying to get to equate to something. There's a lot of flux here, but I think after the first 3 or 4 games, the Packers are going to kind of fit into a mold, and that is going to be dink and dunk down the field, go true West Coast style of offense, run the ball with Dylan and Aaron Jones in the backfield. And both of those guys have been in the backfield a lot at the same time this early in the season and training camp. So they're running that set too. And I think they're going to be okay. I just don't think that in the two-minute drill and a lot of downfield splash plays are going to happen for this team.
So tell me, Billy, about Bakhtiari, because I think at some point they have to realize that he's just not dependable. He's injured all the time. He's got knee problems left and right. He's in a hospital more than patients. I mean, honestly, this guy is constantly out. I don't think they can count on him anymore. When are they going to realize that and move on?
He has more fluid drained out of his knee than you can put into a small swimming pool in the last year. There's no doubt about that. He's working out a little bit more on the sideline. I think just from what I've heard is that he's progressed a little bit from where he was, and they're hoping maybe the first, second week of the season he can come back. I personally think you can't just throw him back in after a week's worth of practice. I think you need at least 2-3 weeks, and he needs to get hit a few times before all of a sudden you can run him out there against the guys like Bosa, you know? But at some point, put it this way, on New Year's Eve this coming year, it'll be 2 years since that injury happened, and he hasn't taken hardly any meaningful snaps. So I agree with you. You got to get him back. And if you're not going to get him back in, say, the first month of the season, then what are you going to do? I think if they don't get him back in the first month of the season, they'll just put him on the injured list the remainder of the year and then maybe figure something out in the offseason for a medical settlement. But they paid him a lot of money. They've kicked that can down the road contractually as well just to fit Aaron Rodgers in. So they got to figure something out with him.
For sure. So what is the deal with the Brewers after they got rid of Hader? It seemed like the players turned on the front office. The Pirates series was embarrassing. They have not played well. They're 3.5 deep. They're up on the Dodgers today. But what is the problem?
The problem is that the front office tried to sell to the fans, this is a good thing. We're going to get rid of Hader because we don't want to pay him. We're going to get rid of Hader, and we're going to get two guys for the one guy we're losing, plus prospects, and our future's great. Well, you don't trade away an all-star for prospects. And the two guys they got, they blow cheese. They're terrible. So they got nobody to back up what Hader was doing. They can't hit the freaking ball. Everybody in this town knew they needed a god bat. And Mark Attanasio, who didn't want to pay him because they can't stand to spend $18, $19 million on a closer because it's not in their pocket budget. And they're paying Christian Yelich to be a freaking paperweight. This team right now, when the management said, we're going to trade Hader, and everybody knew it was for money, it took the wind out of their sails because they said, you're good, you may win the Central, but you're not good enough to beat the Dodgers, and therefore, screw this, we're going to bag the season. That's my opinion.
Hey, so how's that fat pad of yours with all that money you make? You got that fat pad. You're always showing me a different room in your fat pad. The last time you were in, like, the family room and, like, some kind of sports memorabilia. Now it looks like you're in, like, the living room today. What do you got going on there?
I'm in the living room today. Yeah, I'm in the living room today. It's where the air conditioning is right now. You know what? I got to get you here, whether it's during basketball season or football. You get here, you stay at the crib. We'll sit out back at the tiki bar. We'll go smoke cigars downstairs. We'll hang out. We'll show you what it's like to come into Wisconsin and be a Wisconsinite for a weekend. And we'll just sit back, kick some ass, and go out and have some fun.
Listen, I'm ready. Carver High, I cannot believe you haven't arranged this yet. It's about the seventh time the guys invited us to – Wisconsin.
Carver High, I got a room for you, baby. Come on. I even got a memory foam mattress with your ass on it.
Can't we go to a Packer game or something? Carver High can finally expand its horizons and go to Lambeau and see all that history there and have fun, eat some bratwurst and drink a bunch of beer. I mean, Christ almighty, Carver High, do something. Organize something. Billy, I love you. Say hi to mama.
Love you, baby. Champ.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, let's go back and hit all these baseball games from last night that mattered.
Yes, let's fly through a few of these. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles yesterday 6-1. They busted out with that 6-run eighth, able to get it done there. The Mariners swept the Angels 11-7. Cal Raleigh had a couple of home runs. The Wink Man went deep on his birthday. And as usual, Ohtani, Scotty, he was like 4-for-5, a homer, a triple, a whole bunch of RBIs. But what happened? They lost.
They lose.
Again. It never ends for him. The Padres broke out the big stick in Miami after losing the first two games of that series, Scotty. Slam Diego was back in full effect in the first inning with Jake Cronenworth on Bally Sports San Diego.
Fly ball deep right field. Back goes Brian Anderson onto the track at the wall. The Slam Diego Padres are in Miami. And Jake Cronenworth sends one to the Crone Zone. The Padres jump out to a 4-0 lead.
Very exciting. And now they're home to face the always tough Nationals.
Always tough. When the Nats come to town, you better batten down the hatches. You're always going to get a tough and competitive series from that crew, that's for sure. The Red Sox beat the Pirates 8-3 last night. So I tried for about an hour this morning to find some video of this Brian Reynolds pregame where he basically said he doesn't give a shack what Dennis Eckersley says or thinks. And I guess, like, none of these reporters in Pittsburgh bring cameras to the, you know, the pregame interviews, I guess. Nobody had any footage of this. So, unfortunately, Scotty, we couldn't have some fun with it today on Coast to Coast. But Reynolds responded by then hitting a home run in the first inning against the Red Sox. Unfortunately, they still lost, though, the Pirates. They couldn't beat the Sox. But screw Dennis Eckersley, Scotty. There you go. I like what Reynolds did. Forget this guy. What does he know?
Yeah, he should take a look in his own closet because he basically, in my view, even though he's been knobbing the Red Sox all these years, he was an A, okay? And the Oakland A's are cheaper than the Pirates.
No question about that. Both of those teams towards the bottom in terms of spending money. The guards last night, Scotty, staying in first place in the AL Central for now. Jose Ramirez, the RBI double on Bally Sports Cleveland.
Popped him up, shallow left. Out goes Castro. In comes Madu. It drops. The go-ahead run scores. Here comes Rosario. He'll score two. And once it skipped past the left fielder, Rosario just kept on rolling.
Absolutely. You see the spin on the ball once it hits. And Badu comes in and it gets right by him. He slipped after that. Rosario all the way around to score. Oh, my goodness.
I love these two, Rosario and Ramirez. They're tough. It's still crazy to me, that division, because I just feel like at some level, even though we've tried to bury him five times, the White Sox, to me, still have the most talent. They still have all the big names and the big bats and the arms. I mean, what Cueto did the other day, what they did to the Astros, and before that they swept the series. So I think they've been playing much better baseball all of a sudden. Not today. Today they got their ass beat, but they can't win every single day. Before, they couldn't win two in a row, but they've been doing that.
The White Sox go to Cleveland this weekend, Scotty, for three games against the Guards. Three very important games out there in Cleveland. The Mets beat the Braves 9-7 last night. They got things going early. Marte and Lindor had back-to-back homers in the first inning to kick it off. But how about Brett Baty, Scotty, in his first major league at bat? It's funny. We've been doing this a lot here on Coast to Coast the last few weeks. Like, a lot. Guys in their first major league at bat. Of course, when the Yankee guys get called up, none of them were able to provide the thunder. But Brett Baty, Scotty, he did on SNY in his first at bat. Here we go.
He's having a phenomenal year. Gets a breaking ball and hits it out to right. Acuna goes back to the warning track, looks up, and it's out of here. How about that? Brett Baty hits a two-run homer in his first major league at bat. Second pitch he sees, and Baty hits it out of the yard. A moment to remember for Brett Baty and his family. A 2-1 homer, and it's 4-0 New York.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, the family reaction was great. They seemed like they had a lot of beer flowing over there in that section because they were rowdy. I mean, they were really partying when that kid hit that home run. Good for him.
Yeah, they had the parents, the sister, the whole crew were down there in Atlanta last night for that. Here's Baty afterwards, Scotty. No, he did not deliver your paper this morning, but he did get the baseball after the game last night.
Which
look at this kid. Here's Baty.
Yeah, I'm really old.
You get the ball?
I did get the ball. One of the security guys
like dug into the bushes or something. Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah. There, yeah.
What are you
going to
do with it, you think?
Oh, it'll go up in my room or my house or something like that. So for sure going to be framed up on a shelf.
Still somewhere. Lives with his parents. He's got to.
I mean, honestly, that just makes me feel so old. That kid looks like he's about 10.
It's nuts. I feel it too now when I see these young guys that we play every day. Cardinals beat the Rockies last night 5-1. Then they absolutely destroyed him this afternoon. The A's beat the Rangers last night. They're beating them again today, or the Rangers are beating them, excuse me. All that matters from last night, Scotty, is Shea Langeliers. We played his first hit yesterday. Today we'll play his first homer on NBC Sports California.
0-2 to Langeliers. Langeliers hits one in the air, right center. That's hit well. And that baby is gone.
What a start to your career. A big double and then a home run the next day in the afternoon. I mean, wow, Splash City.
So after taking the first two games in Chicago this week, the White Sox on those late inning heroics, they lose last night to the Astros 3-2. They lose this afternoon. Getting beat up pretty good as well. So they're going to split those four games, Scotty. Dodgers beat the Brewers last night. Got a big homer from Max Muncy, who once again has started to hit some long balls. Brewers take care of him this afternoon. Diamondbacks and the Giants, Scotty, they are in progress right now out in San Francisco. Final game of that series. 2-0, the D-backs lead in the top of the fourth inning. Last night, Giants had a 2-1 lead in the eighth, but they waste a great pitching performance from Carlos Rodon, Scotty. Jake McCarthy, who gives the Diamondbacks the lead in the eighth inning on Bally Sports Arizona.
McCarthy, base hit into right field. Walker scores. Here comes Stone Garrett. McCarthy flying towards second, and he is out of there. But two runs come across, and Jake McCarthy, with a two-out, two-run RBI single, has made it 3-2 Diamondbacks.
Well, we got another name. McCarthyism rocking in Arizona now.
A couple of other things from the Phillies, Scotty. Bryce Harper nearing a rehab assignment. We said that he was starting to hit with the team. He's eyeing September 1st for his return to the Phillies. Another return that they need badly, Kyle Schwarber. He is expected to be back in the lineup tomorrow when the Phillies play the Mets. He has not played in a week. Now, he did pinch hit yesterday in that game in Cincinnati, but he's expected to be back in the starting lineup tomorrow. They've been shut out three times, Scotty, in the past week with no Schwarber in the lineup. He does make things go for them at the top of the order. Jose Altuve confirms he'll play for Venezuela in the WBC. Can't wait for that. Joey Votto, you mentioned yesterday, will undergo season-ending rotator cuff surgery. Former Yankee and Met pitcher Dellin Betances retires after 10 seasons in the major leagues. He was with the Dodger organization. Wasn't going very well. Time has passed Dellin by, Scotty, and he moves on. No more.
Former All-Star who hasn't gotten anyone out in the last 5 years.
It has been a while since Dellin has got somebody out. I am not going to disagree with you on that front, that's for sure. Former Phillies and Yankees manager Joe Girardi joins the Marquee Network. He will call Cubs games. Of course, former Cub himself, Scotty Joe. He loves broadcasting.
Do you think he'll manage again? I have my reservations about that. You think he will?
Oh, I think that there's one team he will manage again for, and it's the team that he's about to do the television for. He'd manage the Cubs, 1,000%. And now he's got himself right there in the ballpark all the time, right on top of David Ross as he continues to lose. So, hey.
I actually – now look, if Buck can come back and manage and Dusty and things like that, so I'm not saying never. But right now, I think Joe is done managing for a while because, the whole scene in Philly had to leave a bad taste in his mouth. I mean, he was doomed from the day he started. And it was just a constant. Do you remember how many times we used to just show it, how stressed out he was after games the whole time he was in Philly?
I think he should have waited a little longer before jumping to the next job. I know he let maybe a year go by before he took the Philly job after leaving the Yankees. He probably needed a little bit more time. I'm with you. I think he does take some time here. It ain't going to be at the end of this season, maybe not even at the end of the next, but I think eventually he'll get back in the mix. And if the Cubs are rebuilding, remember, one of the best jobs that Girardi ever did was when he managed the Marlins and that rebuilding team down there. That was one of the best jobs Joe ever did. So he could do rebuilding.
Do you like Joe better than Aaron Boone? I do.
Oh, I like Joe better than Aaron Boone. You know how I feel about Boone. The Yankees will never win the World Series with Boone as the manager. Never. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have my doubts.
That's just my belief. I mean, they won. We didn't really get to talk. We kind of ran through it before. They won in spite of him last night. Why the hell has he got Hicks hitting last night? I know it was for Kiner Falefa. I get it. Hicks is a zero right now. You can't put him out to hit in the ninth inning of that game. And some of the pitching
moves. The bat boy could do better. The bat boy.
Boone is, we've said this a billion times, Boone is the manager because he's great with the media. He's a great talker. He does whatever Cashman wants him to do. In game, you know, pushing the buttons, I think he's awful at it. I think that that's one thing that he is just not good at whatsoever. He does not have
Buck
a feel.
Buck was way better than him, too.
Oh, well, Buck, another class, that's for sure. But I thought Joe was a better manager than him. But they didn't let Joe see it out with this group. They gave him one shot. They lost in the ALCS. And then they got Aaron Boone.
And I'm going to say it again. I think that if they fail, and they will in the playoffs again this year, they should fire Cashman and hire Derek Jeter as a GM.
You know, that's interesting. You're not the first person I've heard bring that up this week. Obviously, coming off the captain thing, and he was on with A-Rod and Kay for like an hour last Sunday night during that Yankee-Red Sox game.
It's inevitable.
I don't know.
It's inevitable. He's going to replace Cashman. I think it's inevitable. Cashman, you don't realize how long it's been and how much failure that Cashman has had now since 09. I mean, it is end of the road. Now, I like Brian. He's been on the show. But I'm done with he's doing a good job. He's not.
He's not. I don't know. He does seem like he wants to run a team in some capacity still, Jeter. You could tell it ended poorly with the Marlins and that he still wanted to build a team and run a team.
Being CEO is one thing. Being the manager of the New York Yankees is more powerful than the CEO of the Marlins.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for the fan favorite, Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. 1958, Floyd Patterson knocks out Roy Harris in 13 for the heavyweight championship of the world. 1960, Braves pitcher Lou Burdett throws a no-hitter against the Phillies. 1965, Hank Aaron loses a home run because he hit it out of the batter's box. You're not supposed to do that. 1973, Hank Aaron again 1,378th extra base hit. He passed Musial with that. 75, Ralph Kiner went into the Hall of Fame. 81, Georgia running back Herschel Walker takes out a Lloyd's of London insurance policy for $1 million. 1982, Pete Rose sets a record 13,941st plate appearance. Now he's not allowed to walk in the ballpark. 1983, the Royals hold on for a 5-4 win in the continuation of the Pine Tar game. Yankees were cheated there, too. 1986, Jim Kelly signs with the Buffalo Bills. 5 years, $75 million, and a million memories later. How about that? 1987, Earl Campbell retires from the NFL. 89, Dallas Green fired his Yankee manager, replaced with Bucky Dent. 17th time the team changed managers since Steinbrenner became the owner. Larry Bird retired in 92. Rich Beam won the PGA Championship in 02. The U.S. Women's Swim Team won gold in 2004. Pudge Rodriguez traded from the Astros to the Rangers in 2009.
2016,
Usain Bolt won a gold medal in Rio. Another gold medal in the Olympics. Do we have time? Go ahead.
Usain Bolt leading in the minute to meet in about third. Talbot won a good bend, but Bolt has got 2 meter lead. Edward is coming back at it. Bolt fighting hard. He's got clear air and he wins it. 1990. The win for Bolt. He's back in business.
Wow, what a freak.
Yep, Dale Hawerchuk passed away in 2020, Scotty, at age 57, stomach cancer. So there you go, this day in sports history.
I don't want to have any of that.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.